Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Welcome, everyone, to my second hour of Superwoman Wednesday. My guest today is Carla Neggers. Before I bring Carla on, I want to remind you that there are new book releases this week. I hope you have a chance to pick one up and support the authors who are writing hard to entertain you. Linda Lale Miller has a new book out called Big Sky River. James Heyman has a new book out called A Fatal Obsession. Kristen Provey has a book out called All the Way. Kyra Rota has just reissued her book, Best Day Ever. I met her at Thriller Fest. She's lovely. There are lots of really, really great books out there. I hope you go and try one. My guest, Carla Neggers, has a new release also. The book is called Imposter's Lure. Carla has been a guest here. She's a personal friend. I'm thrilled to have her back on. Hi, Carla. Welcome back to Authors on the Air.
Well, it's great to be here. Hi.
I'm telling you, it's a bonus year. We get to see each other three times in one year, considering we live on opposite ends of the map.
I know. You're down in Florida, and I'm up in Vermont, but I'm coming down for BoucherCon.
I know. We saw each other at Southwest Readers Fest and then in New York at Thriller Fest, and I'll see you in a couple weeks at BoucherCon. It's a banner year for me. I'm thrilled that, you know, we'll be bumping into each other again. Congratulations.
It's so much fun.
Thanks. Congratulations on Imposter's Lure. You've gone back now to your suspense roots with this book, and you're bringing your newlyweds, Emma and Colin, in. So this is where the story picks up. Can you tell us about this book, please?
Sure. Imposter's Lure starts out in Boston, and my FBI agents, Emma Sharp, an art crime specialist, and Colin Donovan, an undercover agent, are just back from their rather eventful end of their honeymoon, which you can read about in Thief's Mark. And,
right.
And they're back to normal, they think, but a prosecutor, federal prosecutor, who's a friend of their boss, turns up missing, and they get they go try to find her, and it gets very complicated from there and dangerous. And they find a guy who's dead, and there's Emma's grandfather, of course, if people have been reading the series. He's a world-renowned private art detective, octogenarian, based in Dublin, and shouldn't he get involved in this too when he comes upon the last person who saw the prosecutor is back in London and turns up with near death from an overdose. And so it's just lots of twists and turns, and was a really challenging but fun book to write.
You know, this is what book is this in the Emma and Colin series?
It's the eighth novel, and then
right.
There's also a novella prequel, which is both in print and e-novella separately as an e-novella, but it's the eighth novel. Lots has been going on in their lives over these eight books, but the story, like the prosecutor who turns up missing, all of that part of it is all new, so readers can dive into the series with Imposter's Lure, but they'll be aware that, yeah, okay, there's stuff that's gone on before, but
right.
You should be able to keep track.
Well, that's what I like about your books, that I can kind of pick one off the shelf that I haven't read and not so much necessarily worry that it's not going to be a fulfilling, full, enriching story. It's a total book, even though the characters are there. And quite honestly, you describe them well enough that, you know, you don't have to worry about going back and starting from the beginning. Now, you know, my friend Joan likes to go to the beginning of everything and read all the way through. She thinks she's going to miss something. So while I'm reading Imposter's Lure, she's, you know, going back to the beginning of the Sharp and Donovan series.
Oh, so many readers are like that. I'm one of them, but I will start a series anytime. Like somebody will recommend a book and I realize, oh, there's a lot of backstory with that, but I don't have to start with the first one. I'll start with the one that's out now and I basically see if I like it, and then I'll go back to the beginning.
And, you know, I do that too. I've learned my lesson. When I was I mean, I've always been you and I've talked about this. I've always loved to read, and I know you do too. When I read my first Agatha Christie book, they were small, you know, and they were on the little turnabout racks that you'd get in the drugstores and in bookstores and everything. And I thought, oh, there's other stories. I should go to the very beginning, not realizing that each one was a standalone. And I think she wrote like 105 books. And so I read them in order. I thought that's how you're supposed to read series characters.
No kidding.
Well,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So, and then, but now I don't do that. I will go back and read the other books by authors that I like. But except for Preston and Child, I have to go, for them, I have to go to the very beginning because I like their characters so much. And, you know, their books are so unique to me. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan too.
Yeah. I have to because, you know, Pendergast is such a unique character and you learn so much about him when you start from the beginning. So I'm, you know, still searching books, still reading that
series.
Oh, and
they're so rich. There's so much backstory. And without giving too much away, you know what I'm talking about. It's just there.
I do.
I know Doug Preston. He's just an absolutely great guy and just fantastic writers.
Yep. Yep, they are. And boy, have they created one of the most unique characters in literature, haven't they?
Absolutely. My goodness, have they ever.
When the last time they were on the show, they've been on a couple times, we were talking about their most recent book, and they were on tour, and they talked to me from Miami where they're at Books and Books. I know you're familiar with our famous store in Miami. But they were setting the next Pendergast book in Miami Beach at the Fontainebleau Hotel, and I used to live 5 minutes from there on South Beach. So we kind of were talking about all these locations. But speaking of locations, and this is the reason I mentioned it, is you like to travel to Ireland a lot. And so have you walked in the footprints of your characters when you take them overseas?
I have, for sure. I mean, I've created a little village called Declan's Cross that plays a role in the series, and that it doesn't actually exist. But it's in the area of Ardmore on the South Irish coast, and I have been there many times. I was just there in April, and there's an incredible cliff walk, and that area inspired a lot of what we see in the Sharp and Donovan series. And in fact, there are scenes in Ardmore, so if anybody's been there, they'll know the exact bench that Wendell Sharp, the art detective, and Matt Yankowski, the boss, who's friend now is missing in Imposter's Lore, and they sit and have a conversation in this area. And then there's a St. Declan country, and there's a whole history that goes back to the time of St. Patrick in that area. That's wonderful. Plus it's just very contemporary, and there's a fantastic hotel and restaurants and everything. So I've definitely been there a number of times and walked the ground.
The interesting thing to me is the diversity of the things you like to do, because I know you're a runner also. You're a half marathoner, right?
Yes, I have. And now I can actually say that. You know, it's really exciting because I'm new to that kind of running. I've always been a hiker, walker, you know, try to stay fit and all that. But half marathons are their own thing. And I actually ran my third half marathon this past year. And one of them I'm so proud of was last September in Ireland. I ran the Dingle half marathon. It's a half marathon and a marathon. The half marathon ends way out past on, if you know the Dingle Peninsula, it's past Slayhead and at this little village, and there's a little village pub. And then you take a bus back to the village. And it was in epic weather. Biblical weather. It was just
really
a storm. Oh gosh, it was pouring rain. They're handing out sandbags. It was just really
nice.
Yeah, but I made it, and I was very happy too, because there was just, by the time it got really bad, I was just the last few miles. So very proud of that race. And the other ones have been the Covered Bridges half marathon, which is right where I live. Part of it is on my running route, so that's always a fun one to do. And I run that one with my daughter.
How fun. For those of you who've never met Carla in person, she's tiny. I'm jealous. You are so in such good shape and have such a gorgeous figure. And I guess that's what happens when you walk and hike and, you know, and run. Good for you. I think it's magnificent.
Well, you know, I tell people my doctor was an annoyingly enthusiastic running.
Carla, what else do you like to do in your spare time? I know you have family all over New England, and you spend a lot of time with family, and I know you're on book tour right now. So, first of all, tell us where you're going to be tonight and tomorrow so that if people want to go out, they know where to find you.
Oh, sure. Tonight I'm going to be at the North Reading Library in the Boston area, and then tomorrow I drive back up to Vermont, and I will be in at Phoenix Books in Rutland, Vermont, and that's at 6:30. Tonight's at 7. I was in Bill Ricka, Mass. At the library there, beautiful library, last night. Had a great turnout. It was such a nice crowd. They laughed at all my jokes. We just really had a very, very nice time. So I love getting out and seeing people and doing this stuff. But, you know, I'll be back to writing. And I enjoy gardening and cooking, but I really just haven't done a lot of cooking lately. It's been kind of hot, and we don't have air conditioning. So who wants to cook?
Really? You don't have you don't have air conditioning?
Do
you
have
nice
weather
generally?
No, it's gone into the budget.
Do you normally have nice weather during the summer?
In Vermont, yes. You know, you get a couple of days where you wish you had air conditioning, but this summer it's been pretty much the whole summer. So So the cooking, although I did plant basil, and basil loves this kind of weather. So I'm making pesto, a little
good for you.
Pesto, and then I freeze it in ice cube trays. And
that's
and I always appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. Come winter, I haven't done it in a few years. So, but it's just such beautiful basil because of the weather.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, it sounds yummy. It's one of my favorite things to cook with, too. I like basil and iced tea. You know, I combine the flavors. It works for me.
Okay.
Carla, this is the eighth book in the Sharp and Donovan series. Do you have to keep, like, a character Bible so that you know what your characters have done or when their birthdays are, you know, who they've met, where they've gone, or do you just organically remember these things?
I keep a Bible now because I will go back and check things because you think you're going to remember, but there's sometimes you just don't. I mean, sometimes I don't remember within a book because you're just like so caught up in different parts of the story, and even though the characters feel very, very real to me, it'll be some little thing like were they married 10 years or 15 years? That was one of the questions I had, and to just look it up I can go back on the books because I have the print copies and I have the digital copy. But if I have it in Evernote, I can just look that up, and I put the facts down and. As many as I can. That doesn't mean you won't trip up, but again, the characters themselves, what they're doing, how they're thinking, how they operate in the world, all of that is continuous, and that's who they are to me. So I don't have to look up that. It's more just kind of biographical facts or eye color, something like that. If I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I understand that. How do you name your characters?
Oh, that's an interesting question. The name is very important to me because it's got to feel right. Now, with Emma Sharp, Wendell Sharp actually is a very minor character in a previous series, and it's in the last book called The Whisper. So he already existed. And I knew she would be his granddaughter. So the Sharp was already there. And then it's like, well, what goes with that? And Emma just worked with who she is. Once I could see her take shape. And then Colin Dunavin, I'm not sure. You know, it just felt right. And he's one of four brothers. So we have Mike, Colin, Kevin and Andy, the lobsterman. So they just, they are salt of the earth cops and lobstermen, mainers, and then Emma Sharp is the art detective family, and she has a brother, Lucas. So all of that just kind of came together. And there's another character who appears in the very first book in the series, Saints Gate, and every book since then, and that's Finian Bracken. He's an Irish priest who started a distillery, whiskey distillery, with his twin brother, Declan. And so Finian and Declan, they're both Irish saints, so it just seemed, I don't know, it just worked for who they are and what their backgrounds were. And then the Bracken just, you know, I just liked the name, so it worked.
Well, all of your characters have what sound like Irish names anyway. And
so, well, those definitely are. And then we have Matt Yankowski. I knew he just was a button down FBI agent. You know, he's the one who's
right.
just high integrity, but pushes. And he worked. And then we have Sam Padgett is another recurring character, and he's from Texas. So he's kind of he's not quite sure. I think he has the same attitude towards winter that you might. Boston winters.
Yeah, not my favorite. It's a beautiful town, don't get me wrong. I love Boston, but not in the winter. Not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when I was younger, I was more tolerant. I think when I was younger, I was more tolerant of those extremes in temperature, but not so much anymore.
Oh, and Boston can get so cold.
Oh, it really can. It's just very cool. When you're coastal or near someplace that has wind, it's the worst. Are you working on another book, or have you started another book? Even though now releasing this one? I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I am working on, I'm finishing up Stone Bridges. I'm putting all the dotting the I's and crossing the T's on Stone Bridges, which is my next Swift River Valley novel. And that's
right.
non-suspense. It's a fun books, and this is a really fun one. And then the next Sharp and Donovan is called Rivals Break, and it's taking shape, and I'm working on that one.
When you finish a book, when you finish writing, do you ever get nervous and wonder if your readers will continue to love your work?
I guess I don't. I always want readers to love my work, of course. And I,
right.
Oh my gosh, I love hearing from readers. I'm hearing from a lot of readers right now because I do a monthly newsletter, e-newsletter,
uh-huh.
and it just went out and all the, with a new book out just yesterday that,
right.
So I enjoy that. And you just never know because the publishing business is what it is. And you just write the best book I can and go from there. And then I work on the next one. And I try to stay focused on what I'm doing and what I can control. That's what I'm doing, you know, at any given moment.
So when the most fun part for you besides the writing is what? Do you
well,
like
I do
book
love
tours?
To, you know, I enjoy book tours, particularly when it lands at the right time, and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
always, you know, you might be, like I would say the hardest thing is to be trying to, you're so wrapped up in finishing a book and all of a sudden you're ripped out of that to talk about a book that you wrote, you know, months ago and finished months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a little jarring, and I've had that happen. But it's always so much fun to go out and meet readers and have an excuse to, I don't know, get out on the road and put on some decent clothes. It's one of my writing duds. So it's fun to do. And I've done a few things this year with the Southwest Reading Festival, going out
right.
to Thriller Fest, and then now being on the road and going on to BoucherCon. So then I'll just have a quiet fall. And one of the things I do love to do is research. Sometimes it's
really?
Talking to an expert or just diving in and reading books about a topic. In Stone Bridges, of all things, the hero in the book is a stonemason. And I have been tuned in to all kinds of stuff about stonemasons. And it's fascinating. There's so much more to it even than I knew, and it's something that I've done a bit of research on, but it's been fascinating to learn more about. And I mean, maybe a tenth of what I've learned will end up in the book, but you never know where that'll lead with other books. So it's I do love to do that. I've done a lot of research on art history, and learned more. So you have a base of knowledge, and then you just I just keep reading and pulling in all of that stuff. I read every art theft article that comes out.
And I
love to talk to people. So if there's an art theft, I just tune into that. And I enjoy talking to people that I know who are experts in their field and willing to share their knowledge with me.
How very cool is that? Stonemasonry is kind of a dying art, is it not?
You know, yes and no. It just depends. What's happening is it used to be, you know, my understanding from what I've read is that there were just a lot of specialties within the field of stonemasonry, and now they're pretty much got to be good at a lot of different things. But still, in New England, there's just and different places I've been reading about in England. The master stonemasons and the work they're doing. Sometimes just the work of the stonemasons on like cathedrals and going
right,
and
renovations
restoring.
And restoration.
Then opening up. I know we had a church where we were in Vermont, and they opened up a quarry to get the stone to match the stone on the church when they were doing repairs.
Interesting. So are you going to be passing any of these stonemasons? Have you been out to visit any of them to find out, you know, what they're actually doing, seeing it for yourself?
I've seen the work and read books. I haven't actually talked to one, not recently. So that's something that would be fun to do.
I actually know one. Well, oh, do you?
Yeah,
that would be
interesting. I haven't gotten. Yeah, he's not a friend. It's just somebody I know who does stonework up in our area.
How interesting. Well, I know that you're on the road and you're heading up to your event tonight. And tell everyone where they can find you and your calendar of events on the webs, please.
Sure. Go to my website, carlaneggers.com, and I have information on the series, all my books, where I am, what I'm up to, and I do a blog.
And recipes.
So it's just fun.
And recipes to die for that are easy to read and to make and absolutely yummy. I just pulled up the squash casserole recipe again because I think I'm going to make that for dinner.
It's so good. That one is so good from my mother-in-law.
So easy. So I can't wait. Carla Neggers, you know, I just adore talking to you, and I can't wait to see you in a couple weeks and share a meal with you. We'll have a good time, I think. Good luck with your tour tonight and tomorrow, and I know you're going to have a lot of fun. And thank you so much for coming back on this show with me. I really love having you here. Let's talk again soon, yes?
All right. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Carla. Have fun on your tour. Thank you. And that's my second hour. I'll be back at 7:00 with Alifair Burke. I hope you join me then. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Mom and Dad. See you later.